kua tai te wā mō Scorpio Book Spotlight e arotake ana I ngā puka puka pāpai.
Yes, it's right. It's time for the spotlight.
Woo!
And we have the greatest earrings in the world on right now.
Yeah.
Swords.
Little golden swords.
Yeah, yeah.
Which are longer than my normal earrings. Yeah, so they're
I don't know if they're that little, but they're exquisite. They're gorgeous.
Very fun.
Anyway, guys, we are getting romantic this morning, are we?
I thought I would be seasonally appropriate and capitalize on the fact that Valentine's Day is like just around the corner.
10 days away.
Oh, geez.
Yes. Yikes.
That means that. Oh, no, that means we're almost halfway through February.
I know, isn't that horrible? Isn't that insane?
It's wild. It's like, oh, the year's already slipping by. Yeah.
Now, which one are we starting with?
We're starting with this one. I will start this off by saying that I'm actually not the hugest fan of romance as a genre.
But no, that's fair.
Both of these, that's generally just when it's, like, written badly. You know, when it's, like, really melodramatic and you're like, this is a relationship that clearly you two, neither of you want to be in. Like, you're being in it for plot and neither of you are actually enjoying this. Both of these are not that. Not too soppy.
Okay.
They also, like, I mean, they managed to warm my cynical heart. Like, they got me going.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh,
wow.
Like, multiple times.
Sure.
So, you know, it's saying something. So we've got The Fragrant Flower Blooms with Dignity and Our Not-So-Lonely Planet Travel Guide, which both are manga with ridiculously long names, but they're really cute, like, sweet stories with a surprising amount of depth. So we're starting with Fragrant Flower.
Fragrant Flower.
Fragrant Flower Blooms with Dignity by Saka Mikami. It's sort of inspired by Romeo and Juliet, which is where the name comes from, because it's the whole, like, something-something rose with any other name. It's based around two neighbouring schools which have a tense rivalry with each other. There's the boys' high, Chidori High School, and that is rife with delinquents. And then there's Kikyo Private Academy, which is next door, which is where the rich and cultured send their daughters to be proper young ladies.
Oh, yes.
The students of both schools have been taught that, hey, don't engage with the other. That's a bad idea. We're not going to do that. And our main guy, who is Rintaro, who's this guy on the cover.
He looks very insecure.
Correct. He's a very tall, intense-looking dude, but on the inside he's a big, you know, shy, fluffy puppy dog. And he's, like, very anxious, very insecure. He's very like, oh, I'm going to spook people, can't do anything that makes people feel uncomfortable. So he's, like, very aware of himself. And he actually helps out with his family's patisserie. So he helps them, like, making pastries and having a little bakery and stuff.
Was going to say, it looks like a chef's outfit.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
So one day he is working and he meets this girl, which is Kaoruko. And very charming. They immediately form a bond, and he finds out that she's actually a student at Kikyo, whereas he's a student at Chidori, and they sort of begin this delicate little dance of trying to, like, get close to each other without getting in trouble with either of their schools for ruining, you know, reputation, etc.
Oh, very Romeo and Juliet.
Romeo and Juliet. Yeah. But, like, so it's a really cute romance. Each of our leads gets out, you know, as much love as has clearly been put into this. And it's so charming because you're sort of sitting there and both of them are, like, doing this, oh God, I don't want to get you in trouble, but I also want to be your friend, but I don't want to get you in trouble. And eventually they're just kind of like, you know what? If this is what's going to get us in trouble, we're just going to be really sneaky about it. We're not going to stop each other from, you know, doing what brings us joy. Like, my favorite thing about this is that it's not a, oh, their friends find out, and then their friends are all really toxic and nasty. It's all of the characters in this are so endlessly supportive of them. Like,
right.
Yeah, so, like, she sort of figures it out. She goes and waits outside his school, and everyone's like, oh my God, there's a girl, what do we do? And then, so she ends up leaving, and then later on, her friend finds out, and there's, like, a little bit of conflict, but then they're all like, okay, we can go about this in a healthy way. We can help you guys do this in a way that's safe. and so that Kaoruko doesn't lose her scholarship. We're going to make sure that everything goes well. And every character is so well developed. Like, we first meet them and they feel a little bit tropey. But then as the series goes on, we sort of see these fascinating depths hidden with each of them. Rintaro is the obvious, is the most obvious because we sort of spend most of the time with him.
Yeah.
But my favorite, for the record, is his mum. Because she's so good. Look at them. They're adorable. That's him as a kid.
She looks like a fun mum.
She's very fun. She roasts him whenever he is being silly and anxious and is like, hang on, use your cognitive thinking skills here, buddy. Do you think she would be spending time with you if she didn't enjoy spending time with you? It's like one of the rare series that gives every character the same amount of love as our leads. Like, everyone gets their own little chapter, their own little moment in the sun. It's so cute because it's all like, it's, yes, it's a romance, but it's sort of, you go into it expecting a paint by numbers, like, oh, it's Romeo and Juliet retelling, but then the rug gets pulled out from under you and it expands into this wonderful exploration of the different kinds of love and healthy friendship dynamics, as well as, like, it avoids my least favorite trope, which is miscommunication. Everyone communicates. Everyone is like, hey, this is how I'm feeling right now. I get that it's irrational. And everyone's like, yeah, it is irrational, but that doesn't mean that that's not your feelings and you are important to me, so I'm going to try and do what I can. As well as, like, all of this happens while maintaining a very cozy, wholesome atmosphere and absolutely stellar art. Like,
yeah, yeah, no, this so one looks cute. Beautiful.
It's so cute.
We are talking about manga, by the way. I figured you probably knew that already, audience, but just to clarify.
I think I said that.
Yeah, you always do, really.
Yeah. So the next one.
Yeah, I want to see these outrageous looking twinks on the
front. Yeah, that's fair. It's called Our Not So Lonely Planet Travel Guide, and it's one that I've been hoarding for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I started reading this back in like 2021.
Can we just pause for a sec? Because we've talked about it before, but like traditionally manga go the other way.
It goes backwards, yeah.
Is that weird? Do you get used to that?
I actually have been reading manga so long that I pick up Western graphic novels and I read them the wrong way around. So it's only weird if you've been reading it too long and then stop.
But yeah, no, I guess you would get used to it.
You do get used to it, but it's also like, yeah, you know, to each their own.
Now, tell me about these.
I'm also dyslexic, so, you know.
Oh, right. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Tell me about these twinks.
These twinks are Asahi and Mitsuki. This series is a sort of delightfully queer romance that masquerades as a travel manga. So it's based around these two men in their late 20s who, after Asahi has a health scare, they decide to travel the world with the promise that on their return to Japan, they'll get married. Which is so cute.
That is so lovely.
It's so cute. Starting with them already established as a couple might feel like it could threaten the sort of feeling of romance, but it actually does the opposite. Flashbacks and conversations give the reader all the will they, won't they that you could want, their present day travels show them solving problems together and encouraging each other to try new things and also helping to get their partners in and kind of out of trouble. Surprise illnesses, travel mishaps, and the struggles of being queer overseas are all navigated as they support and lead each other through the obstacles of life. Because it is a travel manga, we don't really see many other characters. Like, sometimes someone will pop in for a chapter.
Right, I suppose so, yeah.
You don't really know if they're going to show up
again.
They've
been transient characters, aren't they? Yeah.
So it does kind of feel like this could be a bit of a risk if Asahi and Mitsuki weren't the cutest dang couple.
Yeah, they are the cutest dang couple. Yeah.
They are so easy to get invested in as they serve as our eyes while they visit new and interesting places. Their enthusiasm is infectious. New locations, new foods, and new people are all exciting for the couple and will even give the most hesitant of readers a little bit of FOMO. Like, I've bookmarked a page here because look at the food.
All of the food
in this, I'm sitting there and I'm like, I want to find this.
It's like Studio Ghibli films kind of famously 100%. Make really good looking food.
Oh, I don't know if it would be as good as it looks, but it looks good.
Yeah, this page looks banging. That's a banquet as well.
So it does help that it's just gorgeous. Backgrounds and food are impressively rendered to the point that it feels like you're almost the third wheel as they travel around the world. The diversity of locations and environments and cuisines throughout the world are beautifully depicted. From the humid, bustling cities of East Asia to the frigid winters of Europe, the most fantastical sides of every country is on full display. It's so good.
Right, right.
Our Not-So-Lonely Planet Travel Guide is a beautiful, uplifting, wholesome series about the joy of traveling while also the fear of new things and navigating different environments as a queer adult, all brought together with this wonderful, whimsical art style that strikes the balance between what an environment looks like and how it makes you feel.
So, is it like, oh, they're here in Georgia at this point.
So, this one.
Oops,
I've lost my...
Sorry,
there's your... I'll just find it again.
Is each one kind of set in a different country?
Yeah, so like each chapter, look at that.
Oh, whoa.
Each chapter is them traveling to a different place. Sometimes it's just a different city.
Oh, okay.
But it's just them going to a new spot. So you could conceivably use it as a travel guide because it also has these like little tips at the bottom for like traveling, like, hey,
that's so cool.
Make sure you keep this thing with you, and hey, watch out for people who might scam you on this particular street.
Yeah, right. It's like, oh my god,
it's actually very well
that's
researched.
Quite cool.
It's really cute. Both of these I have been insufferable about. I have one friend who also reads manga, and me and them have just been like ranting back and forth about these because they're just so cute.
Yeah, right.
They are not too intense and not too negative. They manage to focus on the beauty of the world around them and the importance of bonds between people. The Fragrant Flower Blooms with Dignity is perfect for fans of Fruits Basket and Skip and Loafer. I've never read anything like Our Not-So-Lonely Planet Travel Guide.
Oh, okay. So
all I can say is if you're looking for something with a wholesome and surprisingly nuanced exploration of being queer as an adult, this is the series for you. We are, unfortunately, out of stock of The Fragrant Flower Blooms with Dignity because I keep telling people to read it.
Well, I guess technically that's your job.
Yeah, but also it means that I can't be like, hey, you should go pick it up now.
Yeah, it's like you can't now, sorry.
But what you can do is come in and place an order, and also if you have any questions about it, I will ramble at you even more because this is mainly, basically half of what I wanted to say.
Oh my god, I love how in this chapter, like they're in India, and they've got like the classic Indian, like,
Yoga pants on.
Brilliant. Yeah, and the architecture. And what I will say about this one is, like, there's loads of, like, very, like, close-up shots and very, like, angular shots. It's like, almost POV in a way.
Yeah, it's very good at sort of, like, feeling like you're wandering around with
them. Yeah, that's so interesting.
It's so good. It's got, I think, 5 volumes out at the moment. Volume 6 is coming out soon, and I am like chomping at the bit going, please give it to me, I need to read it. It's so good. Also, the covers are so cute.
I know.
I
love how they've got fun here as well.
They do have fun here.
Yeah. Well, hey, thank you so much for 2 banging choices this morning. And genius to go down the wee romance
route. I feel like it doesn't really get as big of a spotlight as it possibly could.
No. I would tend to agree, though I'm a bit like you where it's not really my favourite genre.
It has to be very well done for me to be like, yes!
Yes. And often I can, this sounds so childish, but get jealous of the characters. If they're in like a healthy relationship, I'm like, oh, screw you. Arsehole. Hey, well, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having me yet again.
Yes, and one more time, what are those 2 books
So
called?
We've got Our Not-So-Lonely Planet Travel Guide by Mone Sorai, and The Fragrant Flower Blooms with Dignity, which is by Saka Mikami.
Brilliant. Well, get into Scorpio Books and check those out. Remember, it's the year of the novella as well, as Josh declared it last week or the week before. I can't remember. Anyway, thanks so much.
See you later.
kuatai te wā mō Scorpio Book Spotlight e arotake ana I ngā puka puka pāpai.